welcome to Books Unbound, the podcast where we unbind books to get to their hearts with your hosts, me, it's Ariel, and...
me, Raylene.
Today, we are very excited. We have a good episode. We got some great recommendations in, like requests, and I'm excited about the books I'm going to mention. One of the books, I forgot I'd read.
Oh my goodness, this is exciting.
So I'm excited to talk about that one when we get to it. A couple of notes off the top here. Excitingly, we got an email from Jenny. With the most useful information this podcast has ever received.
Yep.
She told us that you pronounce the author of My Year of Rest and Relaxation and Eileen as Otessa Mosh Feg. Wow.
Yeah, and I actually watched a video to confirm that, and there was a guy interviewing her, and he said Otessa Mosh Feg. Mosh Feg.
Mosh Feg.
Yeah. So it's legit. It's real. You were so close.
Fan. I mean, I was close.
I think you were pretty close and you weren't completely wrong with your assumption.
So thank you so much, Jenny. That's very helpful. Mm-hmm. I now know I can go forth into the world a better person.
True that.
The other note we have is that we're coming up close, very excitingly, onto our buddy read. So I know Raylene's going to talk about On Earth We're Briefly Gorgeous, but also we have, you know, our buddy read deadline is coming up. So we are going to be making a very special episode of the podcast all about that book. We're going to be going in depth. We're going to be having a great discussion about it. It will have a non-spoilery section for people who want to just learn more about the book, but then we will also go into spoilers. And we want to hear from you guys. We want to get voice clips. So we would love you to send in a voice clip with any thought that you have. Don't think it has to be super intellectual. Don't think it has to be really complicated. Just send us in a clip. We want to get your clips with your thoughts about that book, On Earth We're Briefly Gorgeous by Ocean Vuong. We need them by December 11th. And just email them to our email, booksunboundpodcast@gmail.com, and make the subject line, I didn't think about this in advance, but I should have. Let's make the subject line, Ocean Voice Clip. That sounds
perfect.
Cool.
That does sound really nice.
That way I can sort them out very easily.
Yeah.
So we're really excited to make that special episode. I think that's going to be really, really cool. And once we've made that, we can know better like how to do these, and then we can make more of them next year.
Totally. Yeah, this is our first time doing a buddy read, so we don't really know what's gonna happen. We don't know what we're gonna do about taking voice clip submissions, but I'm excited for all the possibilities that this is gonna open up.
Exactly. So Raylene, let's jump in.
Yeah,
what are you currently reading?
Oh, funny that you ask. I'm currently reading On Earth We're Briefly Gorgeous by Ocean Vuong.
How the hell's it going?
I've only read 32 pages so far. But it's good. I mean, nothing really much has happened. And I mean, it's not a very plot-based book, which I already can tell. It's much more introspective. It's about a guy or a man. I don't really know how old he is at this point yet, but he's writing a letter to his mother. And he's just kind of going over memories from when he was a kid and things that they did together and the way that she treated him. And it's not always great. And they're also immigrants. So it's a very interesting story so far, but I don't really know where it's going to go. I don't know exactly what's happening, but that is, pretty much all I know so far, but I'm liking it. It's definitely good. It's beautifully written. So that's a nice change from some of the books I read. They're just kind of, you know, whatever.
Well, the book I'm currently reading is not On Earth We're Briefly Gorgeous, and that's because I forgot that it was December whatever it is, and I'm running out of time. So by next week, I will be reading that, and I'm actually so excited to read it. Like, I've been so excited to read that book for months and months, and when it won our Patreon poll, I was very excited.
Yeah.
However, the book I'm reading will shock you all, because I haven't mentioned it at all.
Oh my God, I'm so intrigued.
It is The Vegetarian by Han Kang.
I've read that.
Okay. You have read it?
Yeah. But
go
on.
Oh, cool. Okay. I have a story about this book. I heard about this book because a couple years ago, a lot of people were talking about it on BookTube. It won the International Booker Prize. It just was generally getting some good hype. And I was very intrigued because all I'd heard was that, like, one day a woman becomes a vegetarian and it like destroys her marriage and et cetera, et cetera. And I was like, that just sounds really cool. Like, I'm very into it.
Yeah.
So I bought it. I found a cover, like an edition that I really that like. And if anyone wants to see, it's basically pink foil with a big wing on it. It's just very striking and beautiful. Mm-hmm. But regardless, I started reading it, was really into it. I was reading it. I was loving it.
Yeah.
But in the way that always happens for me, I put it down for some reason. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. I think I made it like a third of the way through.
Yeah.
And I just like stopped reading it. And I was like, or quarter, I don't know. And then many years passed, mm-hmm. which brings us to today. So basically, as you know, I finished Sadie by Courtney Summers. And I needed a new audiobook for when I'm driving around. Yeah. Basically, if nobody knows my life schedule, I drive my boyfriend to a nearby bus stop pretty much every day so that he can take the bus to work. And so it basically takes about 20 minutes to get there. So on the 20-minute drive there, we talk. But on the 20-minute ride back, mm-hmm. I got nothing to do. And I got to do that twice a day. So I've got like 40 minutes a day where I could be listening to an audiobook, totally. You know? It's like perfect time. So I listen to Twilight a lot on those car drives yep. because Raylene and I read Twilight together. We're currently reading Eclipse. So I'm also listening to that. But when I don't want to listen to Eclipse, I was like, I need something else. And I was scrolling through the books I'd already bought. And I realized I had purchased The Vegetarian as an audiobook also. And it's only 5 hours long.
Oh, that's so short.
And so I was like, I think I could finish this audiobook before the end of the year. You know?
Totally. Yeah, I'm at that point too where I'm like, I have to figure out which books I can finish in the next 3 weeks, essentially.
Yeah, I hate starting the new year with unfinished books. Yeah, like, I know it's completely arbitrary and mm-hmm. it doesn't matter. And every year I do. I have like one or two books that I didn't finish and I just either ignore them for the rest of time or, which is maybe what happened to The Vegetarian, or I like just finish them later. Yeah. But I like, if I can, I like to like start the slate clean.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I started listening to this and I also, but like, obviously, like I mentioned, I have the physical edition. So I know that I'm on page 38. So really not that far into it, but it's mm-hmm. not a long book by any means. It's 183 pages. So I would say I'm like almost a quarter of the way in. I don't really know math very well.
That's
that
okay.
makes sense.
It's a short book.
I'm almost
book,
near 50 and it's almost 200 pages. So that's about a quarter.
Yeah. Makes sense to me.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it, but I'm still in the part that I'd read before.
Oh, I see.
So I'm just kind of like refreshing on the story and I don't really know what's going on. I don't know anything new yet. I don't have any fresh perspectives, but I'm enjoying it. I'm definitely enjoying it. And I'm really glad that I'm finally going to read it because it's kind of been on the back of my mind ever since I started it those years ago. Did you like it when you read it?
Yeah, I think I gave it 3, maybe 3.5 out of 5. Like, I didn't love it. But it was mm-hmm. like an interesting book. It's very weird mm-hmm. though. It's one of those books that's just weird. Like, what is going on? Like, it's kind of surreal and like there's lots of kind of dreamy parts and it's mm-hmm. kind of strange, which isn't necessarily my favorite thing to read. Like, in theory, I'm like, yeah, that's really cool. But when actually reading it, I'm like, well, I don't know.
Yeah. It's funny because I really enjoy Asian translated fiction. And a lot of the time, Asian translated fiction is like that. It's very weird, Murakami, kind of spacey, a little like surreal, like Murakami for sure. Mm-hmm. Have you read Convenience Store Woman?
No, I want to read that one though.
Absolutely strange. Strange as heck. So weird. Similar kind of thing. But yeah, I guess I didn't really explain the plot at all, but basically, I did a little, but The Vegetarian is about a woman who is in a very normal marriage. She doesn't really work, but her husband is like a normal worker and they live in Korea. And one day she has a dream that she doesn't want to eat meat anymore. But like, it's kind of like meat is murder. Like, I think she has like a very violent dream.
Yeah.
And she wakes up and she like goes to the fridge and she starts throwing all of the meat out. And her husband's like, what the hell are you doing? Honestly, he's a horrible person. Like, yeah, I hate him a lot. No. He's a really horrible person. He's very, like, telling her what to do and, like, she shouldn't be a vegetarian and tries to make her eat meat and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it kind of is derailing their marriage, let me tell you. To the point where, like, she doesn't want to sleep with him because she's like, you smell of meat.
Yeah, like, she takes it to a very extreme level, which is what makes it so strange. And, like, it's like, what happened to her? Why is she acting like this?
Yeah.
It's definitely an interesting read.
So, I'm interested to finish it. I hope I finish it soon. But I probably won't finish it, you know, like next week, because I'm listening to the audiobook and I'm only going to be listening to a couple minutes every day kind of thing.
So. Yeah. And you've got to read On Earth We're Briefly Gorgeous. So that's going to have to take priority.
And me and Raylene have pressured ourselves to finish Eclipse before the end of the year. So I also have that kind of a pressure on me. There's a lot of
We're reading nine chapters of Eclipse for next week. So that's going to be great.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty tight.
Well, anyways, the last book I finished is a pretty exciting one. I talked about it last week because I just started it last week, and that's The Hike by Drew McGarry.
Oh, you finished it already.
Yeah,
wow.
I finished it. The other day, I was at the halfway point, and then I just decided, tonight, I'm going to finish this book. And so I read for 3 hours straight and finished it.
Damn.
And it was so great. Because the other problem is that, not a problem, I guess, but my book club is reading this, but this is a book that's kind of hard to find. And so only two of us have the book. And so, and there's four of us in the book club. So I was like, I'll finish the book and then I'll give it to someone else to read. So I kind of felt like I was in a rush to finish it because of that, but also because of having to read On Earth We're Briefly Gorgeous next. I'm like, oh my God, I've got all these book clubs I've got to juggle. So yeah, but I really, really liked The Hike, I have to say. It was pretty great. Definitely weird. So that's definitely a thing. It was a super strange book. And I got this weird thing while I was reading it. I don't know if this ever happens to you, but when I finished the last page, I got a weird sense of deja vu. As if I had read this book before, but I haven't. Like, I know I haven't.
Oh my
gosh. But I got a weird sense of deja vu. Like, have I read that sentence before? Or like,
oh my God.
Have I seen this? And so I'm like, what is happening? Did I read it in another universe? Like, what's going on?
Oh my gosh.
It was really weird. I was just like, whoa. I don't know. That doesn't really happen to me very often, but that happened to me with The Hike. Maybe it's just because it's a weird book and I was just in my head too much. I don't know.
I can't think of when that's ever happened to me, but it sounds spooky.
Yeah. It was spooky. But yeah,
I've definitely had a thing where I've like spent way too much time reading a book. And by the time I finish it, I'm just like, I know you so well. Like, I'm so sick of you kind of a thing. Even if I liked it, I'm done. But that can't be it because you read it so fast.
Yeah, no, exactly. I definitely enjoyed it.
Yeah, that's crazy. I want to ask you a question.
Okay.
How do you feel about star ratings? Give me all your thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely can understand why people dislike them, because it's like, why put a number on something? Like, it's that whole thing of rating things is kind of can be bad for your brain, I think, a little bit. But I don't mind it. I don't really put too much stock in it. I kind of I'm just like, eh, felt like 4 stars, so I gave it 4 stars. Like, I don't know. I don't think it's, you know, it means so much. You know, so if somebody gave it 5 stars, I don't always... That doesn't always mean that it's going to be a great book. And someone may give it 1 star. And I'm like, it's all just people's opinions when it comes down to it. But I don't really feel much for it, is what I'm saying.
Well, as for me, I agree. I used to care about star ratings a lot more. Mm-hmm. I used to be very like, no, this was a 3.5 or whatever. Whereas now I still find it a very helpful tool, because even if I'm not caring about exactly... like what somebody else's 3 stars mean, when they say 3 stars, I know what that means. What they mean is like, this was a good book that I enjoyed, but I didn't love it. And if they give something 4 stars, I know that they like really enjoyed it, but it wasn't like a new favorite. And if they say 5 stars, I get that they mean this is a new favorite book. They really, really enjoyed it. They really recommend it. Right. So it's like, yeah, it's a rough system, but I still find value in it. I do find it easy. So when I talk to people, like, I just finished a book, especially like with family, I'm like, I just finished a book. I give it about 4 stars. They know what that means, right? Mm-hmm. Without me having to like go into the intricacies of whatever.
Well, yeah. Also, sometimes people don't review a book. They just give it a rating. So I think just having the rating to go on, it's like, okay, yeah, that counts as a review in its own way.
It is information. Absolutely. Yeah, you're right. It's obviously not as good as having a big discussion with people about it, but sometimes you don't got the time for that, right? Yeah. You just want to know very quickly, be like, yeah, I liked it. But you know, it was like a 3-star book. That gives me loads of information.
Yeah.
Well, I haven't finished anything. So let's move on to what we bought.
Okay. But I have a question for you first.
Did you make
sourdough bread? The people want to know.
I did make sourdough bread. I made 2 loaves of sourdough bread. And they were delicious.
Oh my God.
I'm so proud of myself. I'm actually tonight posting a photo on my Instagram of my loaf, or loaves, I guess. And I actually today posted a video about me making the bread.
Oh my God.
So if people want to watch me make that bread, you can go watch that video.
That's amazing.
You can see it happen. And you can see, like, I literally filmed clips in the cafe when I asked them to please give me the starter. And you can, like, I filmed this hilarious clip of the girl. Because, like, the way that they have the kitchen is you can kind of see the kitchen.
Yeah.
You can just see the girl, like, the waitress or whatever. Barista, sorry. She takes my jar and goes into the kitchen and goes to, and, like, somebody grabs the starter and spoons it into my jar. And, that's like, so I have cute. It on film. And it's so exciting.
I love that. Oh, I'm so glad it worked out. Even though you haven't finished the book, you got some bread.
I know.
And that's what counts.
I want to finish the book so badly. It's like the only thing I want to read. But I keep, like, I actually haven't really read this week just because, like, life's been really busy.
Yeah.
But other than the audiobook, because that can be done while I drive.
Totally. It's easy enough to do.
What was the last book you bought?
Well, plot twist. I haven't bought anything, but I went to the library. This is the first time we've done a library haul.
Library haul.
Yeah, and the book that I got is The Marrow Thieves by Cherie Dimoline. I'm not sure if I'm saying her name right.
I own that book.
You do? Okay. Yeah, this one is very, very popular at the bookstore I work at, and it's been used for lots of, like, classes. Like, a lot of students have come in picking this up for classes and stuff, and so I've just been very curious about it, and it's like a dystopian story, which is what appeals to me about it. But for those of you who don't know, it is about a futuristic world, basically, where the world has nearly been destroyed by global warming. And basically, the indigenous people of North America are being hunted for their bone marrow because people have lost the ability to dream. And apparently, the indigenous people's bone marrow is the only thing that can, like, solve that problem or cure it. And so,
have the ability to dream.
Yeah.
And if you eat their bone marrow, then you will have the ability to dream again.
Yeah. Like, that's crazy to me. So
it's a very stressful, cool concept.
Yeah, exactly. And I've been wanting to read more books by indigenous authors. So I just figured this was a good start because it's like a teen book. It'll be easy to get into. And I believe it's Canadian.
It's gotta be.
So that's another thing. I want to read more books by Canadian authors. So that's one that it's up next on my list. I'm hoping to read it before the end of the year because I got it from the library. It's pretty short. Yeah. So I'm hoping
you gotta take that back.
Exactly. That's the thing.
I'm actually very excited that you're reading that because I've owned that book for a little while and I've also been very intrigued by it. Mm. So it'll be good to get your thoughts.
Yeah.
I did not buy a book.
Oh my God.
Pretty much useless for our front section here. That's literally why I talked about the vegetarian for so long. I was like, I'm not going to talk about anything else. However, I'm going to make up for it by recommending two books in one of our recommendation categories.
That's fair. I'm kind of doing that as well. Okay. A little bit. So we'll make it work. It'll still be an episode.
Yes. So let us dive in. Mm-hmm. Today we are continuing what we did last week by splitting up our recommendations a little bit just because there was a couple that Raylene was like, let's do these. And I was like, I cannot think of a book. And so I chose my own categories.
Yeah. No, I like that. And it's also good because we, like you've mentioned before, we get so many recommendations. And so I want to try and answer as many as possible. And it's kind of hard when we only answer three a week. So
hopefully
this will help with that a little bit.
If you guys would like to submit a recommendation request, is there a book that you're dying to read, but you just don't know what it is? Send in a request to booksunboundpodcast@gmail.com.
Yes, please.
All right. Let's start with a split one and then we'll do our together one and then we'll split it off again.
Let's do it. Yeah. We're doing two split ones today.
Yeah. What is your split one?
Okay, so the first one I'm going to do here is from Emily, who says they don't read a lot of mysteries and feel like it's because they haven't found the right mystery. Basically, a lot of mysteries seem to be geared towards a male audience and focus on a male perspective, so they're looking for more of a maybe female-centric mystery. And so for this one, I've picked a series, actually, but mainly I'll be focusing on the first couple of books, and that is the Dublin Murder Squad series by Tana French. Have
Never
you heard
of
these? Oh, interesting. There's a TV show that just came out recently for this, which is...
What's it called?
Dublin murders.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I could have guessed that.
So this is, I mean, I don't read a lot of mysteries either, but I have read basically J.K. Rowling or Robert Galbraith is what the pen name is for the series. The Cormoran Strike novels are really good, so I recommend those also, but these are my favorites when it comes to mystery books. Okay. And Tana French is an Irish author, so the books all take place in Ireland. Obviously, it's called the Dublin Murder Squad. So that's
I'm catching on to it.
Yeah. It's all making sense. I'm saying things that everybody already knows. So the first book focuses on two detectives who are solving a murder, basically. One of the detectives is this guy named Rob, and the second detective is a woman named Cassie, and she just kind of comes and tags along. So that is the first book, but the second book focuses more on Cassie, which is the one that I'm really recommending. The first book is called In the Woods, by the way. So that is technically the beginning of the series, but this series is kind of like an anthology series almost, where each one focuses on a different detective, so you don't really have to read them in order. And so The Likeness is the second book, and in this one, super interesting. Let me tell you the plot of this guy. So Cassie is the main character in this, and basically she used to work in undercover. Or maybe, I think she used to work in undercover. But anyway, so at the beginning of this story, someone gets killed and they look exactly like Cassie.
Oh, and that's so stressful.
Yes. So, and so what it is she used to work in undercover. And so people sometimes, like, they've mistaken this person for her, like, alter ego that she had when she was undercover. And so basically they're trying to figure out who killed this person. And she lives, like, she's in college, the girl who gets killed, and lives with a bunch of her friends, and it's kind of like a secret history type of situation where it's like, ooh, posh college kids, and like somebody gets killed, and so she goes and none of them know that she's dead, supposedly. And so what happens is Cassie goes undercover pretending to be this girl who got killed so she can get to know the people and try and figure out if one of them did it or if they know anything, because so it's a really, like, kind of a wacky story almost, but it's so fun to read.
All the books about the same main character?
No, so the first one is, it just happens to both, like, the first two books just happen to both feature Cassie, but the third book is about this guy named Frank who's totally different. Book four is about a different guy. Book five is about a different guy, and then book six is actually the next one that has a female main character. So so I really recommend the series if you're looking. There's not, like, a lot of female detectives, which is realistic, I think, but it definitely kind of talks about the gender norms and stuff amongst the detectives, which is really cool.
Do you think that it's a good standalone? Like, if someone just wanted to read the first one?
Totally. Yeah. You could totally just read the first one. Like I said, they're kind of like an anthology series. Like, sometimes the later books will, like, mention something that happened in the earlier books, but it's not necessary to the plot of that particular book.
Right.
So you can pick up any one you want and read them. I read them in order, and I loved that. So you can definitely do that, but you could totally pick up book six, and you'd be fine.
Right, I see. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Well, sweet.
What's your recommendation?
Well, I am replying to Mariana, who wants some retellings. I was wondering if you know of any books that are interesting retelling. More along the lines of retellings of Shakespearean plays, like the film 10 Things I Hate About You, or the modern retelling of The Scarlet Letter, the film Easy A, not fairy tales.
Yeah, I had nothing for this.
Gotcha. So I have two. The first one I've already mentioned on the podcast, but hell if I don't bring it up again and again and again. And it is Fly on the Wall.
Oh, yeah.
By E. Lockhart. Nice. So I've already mentioned it. I won't go into too much depth, but, you know, I always figure people skip episodes. And
it's true.
If you skip the episode where I talked about this, well, you are so lucky that I'm bringing it up again. Because I love this book. I think that this is the absolute perfect book for Mariana, because the vibe I get from 10 Things I Hate About You and Easy A is that they want something that's a little silly, a bit funny, and set in high school. You know what I mean? A contemporary book. And that is this. So this is based on Metamorphosis by Kafka. The Metamorphosis is about a guy. It's a classic. It's about a guy who wakes up and is a cockroach. And he's like, oh, shit, I'm a cockroach.
Yeah.
This is about a high school girl who one day wakes up and she's a fly on the wall of the boys' locker room. So it's like a very funny version of that story. But it is so beautiful. It is so well written. It is so unbelievably hilarious. Like, it cracks me up. There's a whole section when she's at, when she is the fly, she starts like raiding men's bums. Like, because she's like teenager, right? So she's never really seen like another a teenage boy's
bum.
And she starts like ranking them, and she's like, oh, there's this kind and this kind. And it's one of the funniest things I've ever read. Like, even now as a 25-year-old, when I read it, I can't not laugh out loud. Like, it just is so funny.
Okay. You talking about this is kind of making me think of the movie She's the Man. Have you watched that?
Oh,
that's another retelling. So that's just that's my input. I recommend that. Yeah. That's a 12th night retelling. Oh, I love that movie.
Shakespearean. Amanda Bynes is hilarious. It's so if you're looking for another movie, Mariana, that's perfect.
Yeah.
I have another book I want to recommend. Now, this isn't exactly perfect because it's not like set in high school. Mm-hmm. But she said she wanted Shakespearean.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, I bring to you, and this was the book I had forgotten I'd read, I bring to you Juliet Immortal by Stacey J. Have you read this?
No, I never read that one.
Okay, so basically, I had decided I was going to recommend Fly on the Wall, but I was like, have I read any Shakespearean retellings? So I typed in Shakespearean retellings, and Juliet Immortal came up, and I was like, oh my god, I totally forgot I've read that book. Like, I read it so long ago. That, like, and I was completely a teenager, and it was just like I read it super fast or whatever. I was like, wow, what a whirlwind. So I went and I picked it up, and I actually really enjoyed the book. It was, you know, it was a 4 out of 5 stars for me. So I really enjoyed the plot, and I really enjoyed the kind of concept, but I definitely had problems with it. I remember having some problems with it. It suffers a little bit from insta-love, but I kind of forgive it because it's a retelling of Romeo and Juliet, and that is the original insta-love story.
Yeah, that's what it is.
but I reread my Goodreads review, and wow, is it helpful to have a Goodreads review. I should really do that for all my books, but... Yeah, I did have some problems with it. Like, apparently I was like, the pacing is a bit off at certain times and it feels a little repetitive sometimes. But overall, I really enjoyed it. So this is not like a book I recommend to everyone. Like, I haven't mentioned this book in so long. But if you're specifically looking for a fun retelling and you just like enjoy the novelty of it and Mariana specifically wanted Shakespearean, I say give it a go. It's weird. It's super, it's super cool. Like, it's basically... What if Romeo and Juliet were enemies and Romeo murders Juliet? So, like, you know, obviously at the end of the play, Romeo ends up accidentally killing himself because he thinks Juliet killed himself, and then she kills himself, and then she wakes up, or whatever. Everyone kills themselves. Yeah, it's really sad. But, like, in this one, it's like Romeo killed Juliet.
Oh my God.
And then she becomes immortal, and he's immortal. And so they keep. It's like they keep showing up in different bodies, and she believes in love. So she's always trying to make people fall in love, sort of like Cupid a little bit.
Yeah.
But she also like will fall in love sometimes, but Romeo will always come to screw it all up and like have like this epic battle, immortal battle of love versus hatred or whatever. Yeah. So it's just a cool book. You know what? What the hell?
I think that's a solid recommendation.
All right. Let's do the one that we're both going to recommend.
Okay.
Gabby Wants Queer Women. Hell yes.
Yes.
Can you guys recommend me some books with good LGBT+ representation? I read The Miseducation of Cameron Post, and I'd like more books featuring queer women. Let's go. What do you want?
Have you read The Miseducation of Cameron Post?
I sure have. Oh, I really liked it.
A great book. I think I read that during the first book tube-a-thon.
I remember reading it a long time ago. I remember my general opinion was like, this was great, but I would have loved it more if it was 100 pages shorter. I remember it being too long.
That's true. It was long. And the book that I've selected to recommend is the perfect length. It's under 300 pages, just under 300 pages. Everything Leads to You by Nina LaCour. Ooh. Did you read this one?
I've owned that book for so long. This is like the theme of this podcast. So Ariel has owned that book for a long time.
You got to eat those mashed potatoes, Ariel. Come on.
I have such
It's
a
the
problem.
Holiday season. You've got to eat the mashed potatoes.
Oh, God. I bought that book because of you.
Yeah, I read this book in a day, and I was raving about it so much. When I first read this, it was like 2014. So that's a long time, Ariel.
Yeah.
That's a really long time. This book is really cool because the main character works as, like, she works in the art department for making sets for movies.
Yeah.
Which is so cool to me. That just really appeals to me. That's something I really enjoy. I love behind the scenes type of stuff. And this is that. So that's one fun aspect about it. But it also involves her going on a quest for love.
And
she's totally a lesbian. You know, that's what it's all about. She's going on a quest for love. She's trying to find this girl. You know, I'm actually, now that I'm talking about it, I don't really remember exactly what the plot is about.
This is what happened to me with Juliet Immortal. I was like, yeah, that was a Shakespearean retelling. And then I was like, what the hell is that book about?
You know, I'll just read the synopsis off the dust jacket and that'll refresh me.
It'll refresh us all.
Okay. After being entrusted with her brother's Los Angeles apartment for the summer as a graduation gift, Emmy Price isn't sure how to fulfill his one condition, that something great take place there while he's gone. Emmy may be a talented young production designer already beginning to thrive in the competitive film industry, but she still feels like an average teen floundering when it comes to romance. But when she and her best friend Charlotte discover a mysterious letter at the estate sale of a Hollywood film legend, Emmy must move beyond the walls of her carefully crafted world to chase down the loose ends of a movie icon's hidden life, leading her to uncover a decades-old secret and the potential for something truly epic. Love. That kind of makes it sound cheesy a little bit, but it's really, really good.
And it's funny that you mentioned that, because, like, when I read this recommendation request, I instantly was like, oh, I know the book I want to mention, and then didn't think of any other books. I was like, I've got it. I don't need to keep scrolling.
Yeah, that's what I did with this. I just kind of picked this, and I was like, this is the one.
Yeah, but what therefore happened was I didn't think about, I have read We Are Okay by Nina LaCour.
Oh,
and that is also a queer women main character.
That's true.
And I really enjoyed that book.
Yeah.
I thought it was a beautiful book. Oh, okay. There you go.
I'm glad you liked it though.
I thought it was a beautiful book. I really enjoyed it. I gave it 4 out of 5, I think. Mm. I remember being like, I could have used a bit more plot, but, but I did really enjoy it. And the cover is just the most beautiful goddamn cover of
that's
any
very
book that's
true
ever
yeah
existed.
She's got great covers.
Yeah, she does.
But yeah, this one's fun because it mixes together a bit of mystery along with the, like, contemporary romance, and since she is not a high school student, it's almost like new adult a little bit.
Yay.
I kind of forgot about that this book was like that. And yeah, it's cool because it's like about a girl who's just graduated and she is now getting some independence. Because like it said in the synopsis, like her brother lends her his apartment basically because he's like going away for the summer and she just gets to live there. So like as a person fresh out of high school, getting to live in an apartment in LA on your own is super fun. So it's like she has her independence. She like kind of has a job, you know, she has her thing that she does. And then there's also this whole mystery aspect, which is really fascinating and fun. Like, yeah, I never wanted to put the book down when I was reading it. So,
oh, I love that.
Yeah. I highly recommend that. What's your pick?
Well, I picked two.
Okay. Okay.
Because I was trying to make up for not buying a book.
I see.
So the one that instantly came to my mind and I was like, oh my God, was Ask the Passenger by A.S. King.
That was good.
Whenever people are like, do you have an LGBT book? This is the book I throw at them for two reasons. One, because I just, God damn it, I want everyone to read A.S. King. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I will not rest until I know that I'm putting it into the hands of more people.
Yeah.
I love her writing. I love what she does with her stories. She always has magical realism. And in this book, the main character, Astrid, well, there's kind of two little cool, quirky things going on. The first is that Astrid would, like, go and lay on a picnic bench in her backyard, and she'll look up at the planes that are flying overhead, and she sends them love. So she kind of just, like, imagines sending them rays of love, and you'll read little scenes of how it impacts the people on the planes, and it's so cool. But the other thing is that she starts imagining, but that's the thing, like, is she imagining, or is he actually there? Mm-hmm. Oh, Christ, who is it? Is it Socrates? Or is it, I forget if it's Socrates or if it's Plato. I think it's Socrates. She starts imagining him walking around with her and giving him her advice.
Yeah.
And it's so funny and, like, really interesting. So I really love that kind of weird magical realism.
Yeah.
But the second reason is because I think the story is really unique. So, you know, there's a lot of really cool books about LGBT characters, but a lot of them are very much like someone is gay or lesbian and is coming out and trying to like maybe find their first partner.
Yeah, totally.
And like overcoming that first struggle.
It's always the focus, usually.
Yeah, which is obviously really cool. And in this book, it's about a girl who doesn't know if she's gay or not. And yeah. she's figuring it out. And she has pressure coming from both sides. So her family is like constantly asking her, are you gay? Like, just tell us that you're not, or tell us that you are, like, mm-hmm. like whatever. But then she's also getting pressure from her kind of girlfriend being like, well, are you gay or yeah. are you not? And she's getting pressure from both sides. And she's just like, I don't know what I am. I don't know who I am. And mm-hmm. like, I just need to figure this out. So I just thought it was a really fresh perspective. I really loved it. God, I love that book. Thank you. It's my second favorite A.S. King.
Which one's your favorite?
Everybody's Who's the
Of course.
Because it was my first one, and oh, it's just so good.
It's so good.
But the second book I wanted to recommend is Laura Dean Keeps Breaking Up With Me. I know,
I didn't even think of that one.
I know. So I was getting asked the passengers, and I saw my graphic novel section, and I was like, oh my God. So I read this book this year during the summertime, during our readathon, which is the reading rush. It's about, I mean, the title actually does a very good job of explaining the plot, but it's about a girl who, what's the main character's name? Freddie.
Right.
I would never have guessed that. I would never have remembered that.
Nope.
Freddie is dating Laura Dean, and Laura Dean is a terrible girlfriend. She is
sucks.
So flaky. Mm-hmm. She is really manipulative and rude, but Freddie really likes her, and it's kind of like, seems like kind of her first significant relationship. And she's kind of like dealing with it and taking the abuse. And it's about her like deciding what kind of person she wants to be, what kind of abuse she will allow, what friendship means, and like relying on other people, trusting yourself. And it's illustrated by, I don't know her last name. Rosemary Valero O'Connell. And it's just absolutely beautiful illustrations. Yeah. So I really recommend it. It's been a while since we talked about a graphic novel.
Mm-hmm.
So glad I can get one in.
That's true. And that one is also good in the way that it's not a coming out story. It's very much the, you know, you go into the story and everyone just accepts who they are and what they are. And I love that. Like nobody, you know, there's no homophobia. Like we don't have to deal with that whole side of things. It's just like, here we are. This is our story. And it's not, you know, made into a big deal. It's kind of like, this is just how it is. And I love
that. I love that too.
It normalizes it quite a bit.
Exactly. Yeah. It's really good to have coming out stories because obviously there's so many people who are coming out and it's difficult and it's good for them to get perspectives on that. But it's also really great to read stories of people who are just gay and living and their friends are gay or like support them, whoever they are.
Mm-hmm.
And like, yeah, I thought it was a really good book.
It is real good.
I want to reread it someday.
And you can. It'll be easy.
Thank God. All right. Well, it's time for us to go our separate ways. Goodbye, Arlene.
Yep. We're splitting down the road again. Okay. So my next recommendation comes from Jamie. The request comes from Jamie, who's asking for books that are told in two timelines. And they say the further apart, the better. And I've actually, as far as I can tell, I've only read one book like this. And so I immediately was just like, this is the one. This is the only one you're going to get. And that is The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo by Taylor Jenkins Reid.
Oh, yeah.
This book is so good.
Everyone loves that book.
It truly is just so amazing. I wasn't expecting to like it. I was never even going to read this book. And then I just decided one day, you know what? I'm just going to give it a try. And I'm so glad that I did. I listened to the audiobook for about 90% of the book. Like I started reading it and I was like, this is really good. And then I had to go drive for like 3 hours or something. So I just listened to the audiobook for many hours. And I was just like, I was engrossed in the story. It starts out it's told through the perspective of a couple of different women. The main character at the beginning is Monique, who is in the modern day, and she is like a journalist, a reporter, writer of some kind. She works at this magazine that's kind of like People magazine. You know, they talk about celebrities and they talk about other things, whatever. And she gets approached by someone asking, would you like to do a feature on Evelyn Hugo, who is basically this fancy lady. She was basically like Marilyn Monroe. Like she was a big movie star in the 50s.
Okay.
But at this point in the story, she's really old and she's reclusive. She won't talk to anybody kind of thing. And out of nowhere, Monique gets asked to do a feature on her. And she's like, whoa, this is really weird. Sure, I'll just meet with her. And so she meets up with Evelyn Hugo, and Evelyn is like, I want you to write a book about me, and it can't be with the magazine you're working with. I want only you, and you only, Monique. And Monique's like, but why? Like, she is literally this rookie journalist, basically. Nobody knows who she is. She's written one great article, and that's pretty much it. And so there's that whole side of the story, is this mystery of why did she pick her? But then the other half of the story is back in the 50s, basically, because it's Evelyn telling her story, because she's Monique is writing her story into a book.
Right.
So you get to see it from her perspective, like the way it's written is from her perspective. So it bounces back and forth between the 50s and the modern day. And it's just about her telling her story. She kind of is like a scandalous person. She's, as you can tell by the title, she's had 7 husbands. And everybody wants to know like what happened and why she had so many husbands and what went down. And it's very interesting story, because it's like, a lot of the relationships were because of fame and because of helping her get by in Hollywood and all this stuff. And there's lots of secrets, and it's full of secrets. This is one of those books that's just like, woo, right when you think you know everything, it's like, nope, there's something else that you don't know. And secrets are so fantastic. I like secrets. Yeah. And this one also involves queer women. I will say, I don't want to say how or where, because it's kind of a spoiler a little bit, but you just got to read the book to find out. And it's just, it's so good. It's just so good.
That's awesome. Well, yeah. And that sounds perfect. Like, that is the dual timelines thing.
Yeah, yeah. Like, hopefully this book has not been read by Jamie yet, because this is a really, really good book, and I hope that this recommendation helps you out. But yeah, what's your final recommendation request?
Well, that was a great recommendation. You also made me want to read it, because I own it. I bought it at the airport like a couple weeks ago, and I had just gone to a conference. I guess actually it was a couple months ago. Mm-hmm. You know what? I've lost all track.
It's been a while. I remember you talking
about it. I need my own dual timeline here. I don't know what's going on. But yeah, I was at a book conference, and all of my friends were like, read this book, read this book. And I was in the airport for a long time, and I ended up in a bookshop, and I ended up buying that book. And I did actually read the first like chapter of it. So I remember Monique like being asked to go and do this. And I was like, this seems fun.
It is fun. Yeah. I read it in like 2 days. So, you know, it's not going to take up a lot of your time. If you start reading it, you will get sucked right in. It's one of those books.
Well, my final recommendation comes from Poppy. Poppy asks for, I wondered if you Raylene, it's only me now. I wondered if Ariel had any recommendations for essay collections written by women. Essays that discuss anything really, but especially aspects of life, along the lines of the little virtues, faraway needs, and notes to self. And I have the perfect book. And I was really excited when I saw this one, because I love this book, but I don't talk about it that much just because, I don't know, I think not many of my friends read that much nonfiction, and it just hasn't really come up. So I'm really excited to talk about this book, How to Be a Woman by Catelyn Moran.
Oh, I didn't realize you'd read that one.
It is so good. It is so, so good. So if you don't know who Catelyn Moran is, she's a really, she's a big celebrity in the UK. I don't think she's crossed over as much over here in North America. She is a writer for, is it the Times? I think it's the Times, but I might be wrong about that. But she's a really big writer over there. She writes for newspapers. She does like articles, really interesting opinion pieces and stuff. But she's so funny. Like, she is so hilarious. She's also like an actress and has stuff to do with TV and stuff, but she has just had the craziest life, and she's always loved writing. Like, and so this book is a little bit of a memoir, but it is more like these essays about being a woman. And it's called How to Be a Woman, but like, it's not like an instructional guide in any way. I think it's just kind of a funny title. Like, this is her life, and this isn't how she's become a woman. But I have never in my entire life read something so goddamn relatable. Like, she explains all of these feelings that you have as a person and as a woman that are so on point. Like, the way she talks about periods or shaving, or like, I remember like she was talking about like finding your style and like what you wear and like all of these different scenarios that I actually was laughing out loud. Like, That's because awesome. It was so unbelievably relatable. I was like, oh my God. Oh my God. Yes. 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 And yeah, I just really enjoyed it. So I have this really cool edition by, who the hell is this by? It's called Olive Editions.
I read it backwards. I love those editions.
And I was like, what is going on here?
Yeah.
It's an Olive edition by Harper Perennial, which I really like this edition, but I didn't actually read this edition because listened to the audiobook. So I think I mentioned this in another podcast episode. When I listen to a book I really enjoy, I like to have a physical copy too. Yeah. Just because I think of my books physically more than I think of them in the ether of an audio library.
Yeah, totally. I'm the same way.
Yeah. And because I loved this one so much, I really wanted to have a copy of it. But basically, I wanted to just say that the audiobook is so good. So like, if you're down to listen to an audiobook, please go and do the sample of that book, because there is no way that you will not get that book. Like, she's also kind of like a personality, like a host and stuff.
Yeah.
And I've seen her talk, and she is so lively and funny, and her accent is really good. So like, she does such a good audiobook, and it's just, I remember this is one of the most positive reading experiences I ever had. I loved listening to it. I felt like I was hanging out with her. I felt like she became my best friend. I felt like she was telling me all these things I needed to hear. And yeah. like, I was sharing really personal moments with her. And I just, like, it was beautiful. It was so beautiful.
Okay, and I'm always looking for a new audiobook to listen to. Like, I'm one of those people who I have so many audiobooks I want to listen to, and then I can never pick one. Mm-hmm, and that sounds like the type of book that would just be so easy to just dive into. And
yeah,
just
in a way, because it's nonfiction, and because she reads it, and because it's her life, it feels a little bit like a podcast.
Yeah, I think that's why I like nonfiction audiobooks better than fiction audiobooks.
Yeah, same. Same. So I really enjoyed it. And I've always, honestly, always been looking for another audiobook as good as that one. Like, because Sadie was an incredible audiobook, but in a completely different way.
Yeah,
right? It's like
absolutely.
A full
it's the production.
It's like a full production, exactly, but for a fiction story. This is more like an author reading an incredible book that they wrote and put so much character into. Like, oh.
And something else I love about an author reading their own book, especially if it's a nonfiction, is that sometimes they'll just add in extra things that aren't in the printed book. Because they're in control of this whole thing. And so sometimes they'll just kind of stop and be like, you know what? This is an audiobook, so let me just tell you. Like, I just love when they do that. It's so fun. Like, they don't always, but they have more more freedom to do that, I think, when they're reading
their
own book.
Absolutely. Yes. So that is my final recommendation. We did another podcast episode.
We made it through.
I'm so proud of us.
That was good. I really like doing the split recommendations. I don't know about you guys.
They work really well. Definitely let us know on our Instagram what you think of the split recommendations. But I actually think it's a really good thing because, you know, me and you have different wheelhouses.
We exactly.
have different
That's very
sections
true.
That we've read more of. And I get recommendations from you. And I think it gives a bit more variety on the podcast, too.
Yeah, I think so, too. I really like it.
Yeah. Wow, watch us go. Very self-congratulatory today.
We're doing great. We're almost at our website goal. We're doing great.
Yes. So now we're at the end. Two little pieces to note. Number one, reminder to please send in your voice clips to booksunboundpodcast@gmail.com with ocean. What the hell did I say it was supposed to be? Ocean voice clip. Ocean voice clip. And give us any thought that you have about the book. And it can be a question, or it can just be a thought, or it can be an observance, anything at all. We're excited to hear it. But secondly, we are currently off. We're about to go off to record our Patreon bonus mini podcast, where we just have a good old time for our patrons. And we are trying to reach $300 a month on Patreon. And if we reach it, we will make a website, and we're very excited for the website. I've been tinkering away at it. I think you're gonna like it, everyone. And we're only $13 away from it right now as we speak. So guys, I think we could do it.
I think so too. Do you guys want the website or not?
Yeah. If you want to check out our mini podcast, you get a mini podcast. You get to listen to the episodes early. And you help us build a website? Sounds like a pretty good situation to me.
You guys could pat yourselves on the back if you did that.
Yes. So So with that note, we're off to record the podcast. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much to everyone for listening. Thanks, Rillian, for potting with me.
No problem.
And we will talk to you guys next week. Bye.